The reading is written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 40 to 56, and is to be found on page 1038 in the Church Bible. That is page 1038. I read from Luke, chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. Verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Yemi. Let's start with a question. It's the same question at the top of our beautiful yellow sermon sheet. The question is, when do you feel weak, or when do you feel the weakest? There's four options. Do you feel weak when you've just done PE or done some sort of exercise, you know, down the gym or whatever? That's A. B, do you feel weak when you're ill? C, do you feel weak when someone else does something very strong or brave, like that man there pulling an aeroplane? Or that's why I wasn't here last week. And then D, do you feel weak when it's time to tidy your bedroom up or do the housework, clean the toilet, whatever your housework is? So just have a quick think and then we'll have a show of hands. Which one of those makes you feel most weak? I know there's other things that make you feel weak, but let's go with these four. Okay, so if you think you're most weak after doing PE, it's A, put your hands up. A, after P, just have one or two. Whew. What about when you're ill? Who's B? Do you feel most weak when you're ill? Okay. When someone does something strong or brave that you can't? Yeah, I sort of went with that one as well, yeah. And then D, when you have to tidy your room, does that make you feel ill? Yeah, the Lorna's got a hand up, so Sophie. Well, illness got it, actually, and probably not surprising. But, you know, whatever the reason, we all feel weak sometimes. Now, here's our Romanian... Oh, there's they are. There's the Romanian team on the day that they arrived in Romania. And they were all looking pretty chilled out and, you know, lots of energy. But very soon, loads of them were very weak. Talked to James about that particularly. And they were very weak because they'd been ill. And some of us here were feeling pretty weak as well because we were worried about their health. We feel weak about, as I say, all sorts of things. Here's some examples. You know, if you're facing a job interview, maybe you got an exam to sit, maybe you've got a medical appointment and you feel weak about it. And sometimes, sadly, we feel weaker when we get the results of those things. But the key thing is what do we do in those situations when we feel weak? Where do we go for help? Maybe you're a person who puts on a brave face. I'm probably one of those sort of people. You know, someone, you know, I can cope. Someone says, how are you doing? I'm fine, you know. Or maybe you're a person who hides under the duvet and has a good old sulk under there for as long as you possibly can, wallow in your weakness. Or maybe you're a person who looks in the wrong place to find something that makes you feel better. Well, hopefully, when you're weak, you'll talk to someone that you can trust, someone who's going to give you wise and helpful advice. And that is a really, really good thing to do, which I encourage. But there's a better place, there's a better person where we need to go when we're weak, and that is to Jesus. Because we find in him strength and kindness. And Jesus gives us an open invitation to come to him. That's what our memory verse was about today. Jesus knows we get weak. He knows that we get weary and burdened. You know, he knows that we get the burdens, the weight on us, all the worries and so on that drag us down. So Jesus says, come to me, trust me, and I'm going to take the weight of whatever is making you weak off of you. And that ties in with a song, Jesus Strong and Kind, that we've been using in August to help us with our sermon series. Verse 2 says, Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to him. No one else can be my strength. I should come to him. And that means that however weak I feel, trust Jesus. Because he's strong, no one else can be my strength. And here's a spoiler for those doing the sheets today. This is our big idea for today, which I've shortened here to, I'm weak, trust Jesus, he's strong. Okay, it's diving in time now if you're using the sheet. So remember, Yemi read from Luke, a book about Jesus, chapter 8, starting at verse 14. If you've got the Bibles as well, it's 1038, page 1038. And let's see now how two people were weak, they trusted Jesus, and they saw that he was strong. So we're told by Luke that one day there's a big crowd waiting for Jesus. And there's two people in the crowd in particular who are waiting. And they're from very different circumstances, but they're both weak. They both have come to Jesus for help. Verse 41 and 42, it tells us about a man called Jairus, who we're told is a synagogue leader. That's a bit like a vicar. He's respected. He's used to getting things done and sorting things out for himself. So it's really unusual, we're told in verse 41, that Jairus goes to Jesus and falls at his feet, like kneels at his feet. I mean, most people just thought Jesus was, you know, another wandering preacher. Jairus was important, so it must have been quite embarrassing for him to go and do that. But we're told that Jairus's only daughter, just 12 years old, was really ill. In fact, she was dying. So Jairus, her dad, is beyond worrying about pride, beyond worrying about embarrassment. He kneels at Jesus' feet. He can't sort it out because he's weak. So he comes to Jesus because he believes Jesus can do something, that he can make his daughter better. And he begs Jesus for help. And we're told Jesus goes with him straight away. In his kindness, Jesus responds to Jairus' humility and his faith. But they don't get far, because the crowd's heaving, and so they all get slowed down. But that gives an opportunity for the other person who needs Jesus' help. Now, Luke doesn't tell us the woman's name. Maybe people didn't know her name. But he tells us how desperate she is. She's terribly ill because she's been bleeding from inside of her body for 12 years non-stop. She's drained of colour, completely pale. She's drained of energy. She's drained of options to get better. She spent all of her money with doctors to try and get better. And worse than that, in those times when Jesus was around, in those times, 2,000 years ago, her condition meant that she couldn't go out with people. She couldn't even go to church. Just think how lonely she was on top of how ill she was. But the woman believes that Jesus can help her. But how can she push through the crowd? How can she get his attention without everybody seeing her and then probably telling her to go away? So she creeps up behind Jesus somehow, and she just reaches out and touches the edge of his clothes, of his cloak, believing, because she's heard about his power, that somehow she will be healed, she'll be made better. And in verse 44 it says, immediately she did that, her bleeding stopped. And she felt completely different. Jesus had healed her in his kindness, in his power. So that's great, but then things take a turn. Who touched me, says Jesus. Not me, not me, not me, says everybody in the crowd. And Peter says, Peter's one of the disciples, he says something like to Jesus, you know, everyone's touching you, Jesus. Can't you see? We're squeezed in here. You know, everybody's touching us. But Jesus is insistent. He says, someone in particular touched me. I felt the power go out of me. He knew that the woman had reached out to him. And it's beginning to feel a bit stressy, I think. You know, is Jesus being kind here? Does he need to put the pressure on the woman to make herself known, to come out of the crowd? Wouldn't it be kinder just to let her go quietly now she's better? And let's not forget Jairus. You know, wouldn't it be better to just to get on and rush to his daughter? But of course, Jesus knows best. And Luke tells us that the woman, although weak and trembling, a different weakness now because she's scared of being made public, she plucks up courage. She comes to Jesus again, face to face this time. And in verse 47, just like Jairus, she fell at Jesus' feet and she tells Jesus and the crowd everything, all about her illness and about how she's been healed. And then in verse 48, Jesus said the most beautiful, intimate, kind words to this woman. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, there's loads going on in this sentence. We could have a sermon on its own, I think. But it seems that Jesus doesn't just physically heal her, but he saves her spiritually because her faith in Jesus has brought her in to God's family. And Jesus uses this moment as well to emphasize to her that her faith is not in some magic in touching his clothes, but because of his power, because of Jesus' strength. And calling her out of the crowd, well, that enabled her to know Jesus even better, to know him more deeply. The woman was weak. She trusted Jesus. Jesus was strong. So, wow, what a super happy ending to the woman's story. 12 years of suffering over. But hang on, verse 49, a messenger now comes from Jairus' home and says, your daughter's died. And this is awful. I mean, it's great that the woman's been healed, of course, you know, but because Jesus pulled her out of the crowd and started spending time with her and everything, you know, it's made things worse for Jairus' daughter. Things have gone from desperate for Jairus to hopeless for Jairus. The messenger says to him, let's go home, Jairus. Leave Jesus alone now, it's too late. But it's not too late for Jesus. He's strong, he's powerful, and Jesus calls Jairus to him again to have more trust, to have more faith, promising your daughter will be healed. Imagine how Jairus is feeling now. You know, he's not just weak, is he? But he's emotionally drained, physically drained probably. And, you know, he must have doubts, I would. But he trusts Jesus somehow. He trusts Jesus and he takes Jesus back to the home. And in those last few verses, we read that despite some people making fun of Jesus, we see his power and his kindness again. Jesus keeps his promise. And in verse 54, Jesus took the girl by the hand and said, my child, get up. And at once she stood up. At once, it's the same word that immediately of the woman was healed, the same word used. At once she stood up. And in case there was any doubt that the girl was really alive, you know, in case someone thought she was a ghost, Jesus says, give her something to eat. Wow, what another roller coaster story. Yet Jesus is in control all of the time. Even though Jairus and the others probably didn't know, didn't understand, Jairus was weak. He trusted Jesus. Jesus was strong. So two amazing interlinked stories of people who were weak, who trusted Jesus and saw he was strong. You know, I want to trust Jesus just like that. I wonder if you do. But to do that, if you want to trust Jesus like that, we need to know what Jesus is like. And then we need to know, find out more about Jesus so we know more what he's like and more what he's like and more what he's like. It's a lifetime thing. Here's five things. It's the same five things if you've got on the sermon sheets as well. Here's five short little things about Jesus that we get from this passage to tell us what he's like. First of all, Jesus is kind. I mean, Jesus knows bad things happen to all of us that make us weak. You know, illness and sadness and loneliness and loads of other things. But Jesus doesn't leave us to struggle. He invites us, come to me and I'll give you rest. In his kindness, he takes our burdens away from us and he gives us peace. He gives us strength. He gives us purpose. He gives us hope. He gives us joy. Secondly, Jesus knows best. In our story, Jesus led the woman and Jairus through sort of stages that they didn't really understand. They probably didn't agree with completely. He called them to trust him and then trust him more. Sometimes when we come to Jesus for help, you know, things might not seem to get better, and or something else crops up and you feel weak again. But the Bible's clear, Jesus is always good. He knows everything. He's king of everything. He does know best. And then Jesus says, trust me. Our story shows that we can trust the Lord Jesus. He is kind and he knows what's best for each one of us. He wants us to trust him all the time, you know, whatever's going on, because that helps us to get us to know him more deeply. So trust him when you're concerned, trust him when you're struggling, when you're doubting, when you're angry, when you're desperate, when you feel hopeless, trust him. But also trust him every day when things are going well, because that builds relationship. We get to know him better so that when those bad times come, we can trust him. Jesus is strong. We sometimes sing Jesus is the mighty, mighty king. And he is. He is the mightiest. He is the strongest. And that's why in the verse of our August song, Jesus Strong and Kind, it says, no one else can be my strength, because he is the strongest. You know, why look elsewhere in anything or anyone when we know Jesus is the strongest? He's strong enough to carry all of our burdens. He's strong enough to give every one of us the strength we need each day as we seek to follow him and serve him. And then fifth, Jesus saves us. You know, Jesus healed, he saved the woman, he raised Jairus' daughter back to life. But eventually they and Jairus himself and everyone in the story, they died, including Jesus. But Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate sign of his kindness, the ultimate sign of his love for you and for me, and taking not just our weaknesses, not all of our weaknesses, but all of our sin, all of our rebellion against God, he took on himself at the cross. And then just 3 days later, on that first Easter morning, Jesus showed how strong he is. He beat death. He was raised to new life, a resurrected forever life. A forever life with Jesus. You can have that. I can have that. I have that, thank the Lord. Because if we trust Jesus, he promises that forever life with him. So we come to the so what of today's talk. If I was to ask every one of you here today, what's making you feel weak today? You would have a load of different answers, wouldn't you? And I know that some of you would be feeling weak right now as we're talking. And you know, you might be dealing with that weakness by saying, I'm fine. Or you might be dealing with it by hiding under the proverbial metaphorical duvet. Or you might be trying to deal with it by looking for help in the wrong places. But this morning, can I urge you, go to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Plead with Jesus. Fall on your knees in prayer to Jesus, whether that is on your own or with somebody else that you trust. Richard and Sue will be praying over here on the side after the sermon. Maybe you want to pray with them today because you feel weak, or you're weak about someone else who's weak. Trust Jesus. He is kind. He is strong. I'm weak. Trust Jesus. He is strong. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the kindest, the strongest, the most wonderful, amazing person. And we know, Lord, that you are God. And so you are supreme, sovereign over everything. And so, Lord, wherever we are, wherever we're feeling, wherever's going on in our lives, we know that we can come to you, that you will take our burdens and our weariness, and you will give us your rest. Please help us not to hide away in places, to look in the wrong places, or to think we can do it on our own, but to come to you, Jesus, in prayer. We pray this in your name. Amen.